Are you guys glad to be in the house of God? Amen, amen. It's an exciting time. Christmas is. And today I want to talk to you about a kid who saved Christmas. Kid who saved Christmas. That's my topic today. Aren't we excited to have so many amazing kids with us today? Kids, I'm so glad you're here. Now, if you're a parent, you're probably thinking something different. You're sitting there nervous. They better not do something stupid. Amen? Right? I remember when I was a kid, we would go to church with my family, and I remember mom would give me this stir warning. She would be like, "You don't have to go to the bathroom in church. You understand me, son?" And I would be like, "Mom, but our church goes for like 3 hours. I have to go to the bathroom." She's like, "You better be quiet, okay? Or you'll get a spanking when you get home." And I was like, man, church was kind of boring when I was a kid. It went forever. Sorry, Mom, no offense. My mom is here today. But but church was kind of boring. I remember one day, kids, I went to church. And we were sitting on this third row in a house church. I was like 6 years old. And I was sitting in the church, like third row with my mom and my other brothers. I have six brothers. I remember there was no microphones in the church. So everybody packed, like 200 people packed into this small house. So it was packed, and it's hot inside, no air conditioning, no air circulating or anything. And I remember this other kid farted as loud as he could. And this preacher is standing there, like right in front, looking at the mother, and mother gets red. She's pinching the kid. Have you ever been warned when you were going to church? Have you ever been warned? Well, today we're going to break all the rules. Is that okay, kids? Can we break all the rules today? Amen. We're going to be little rebels today because I believe God wants us to have fun in church. When I grew up, I wanted to make a church that my kids don't know what boring is. Amen. I wanted to have a church where people would come and the only memories people would have of church is fun. Amen. So we're going to break kind of all the rules. All right. And we're going to do some exercises today. Is that okay, parents? Some of you parents are really nervous. But kids, can I invite you to the front with me? Kids, come on. Big kids, small kids, come in the front. Some of you stand like in a, yeah. I don't know if it's a good idea, but we'll do this. Amen. Amen. There's certain things in the Bible that God says we should do in worship. Number one, are you ready for this, kids? Psalm 47:1 says this: "Come, everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with joyful praise." So when adults tell you, you got to be quiet in church, God says, clap your hands in church. Can we do that today? Not yet. On a count of three, parents, can you help us out? We're going to clap for Jesus. Amen? So on a count of three, one, two, three, let's clap for Jesus. Okay, that's good. That's good. I think we could do better. There's another verse in the Bible, Psalm 98:4. It says this: "Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy." So we're going to do something really crazy, kids, okay? And adults, you can help us if you can. We're going to practice that verse because God says that he wants us to shout in church really loud. All right, so we're on a count of three. Are you guys ready right here? Come on, I want to hear you. Are you ready? Yeah. Are you guys ready over here? All right, that's just practice. On a count of three, we're going to shout. We're going to practice that scripture. One, two, three, shout! Now let's do adults. No, I'm just kidding. How about another exercise? For this one, I'm going to need you to be very free, okay? You know, kids, you right now have such freedom because you're little. You don't care. You can do something so stupid, and then you can just move on. And when we adults do something crazy, you know what we do? We get traumatized for life. But you kids don't care. So number four. Number four is Psalm 149:3. Let's read it. Praise his name with, say it, dancing. Some of you are like, what's going on in this church? Well, look what the Bible says, even in King James. So if you read King James, it says dancing. So praise his name with dances. How many of you like to dance, kids? Okay. All right. So we're going to do some dancing today. How many of you can do a worm? How many of you can do a stinky leg? Stinky leg. Okay. How many of you can do hip hop? That's easy. All right. All right. I'll be waiting for to see it. How many of you can do ballet? Ladies, girls, any ballet dancers over here? Okay. So I want you, how many of you can do a sprinkler? How many?
Tripper.
Tripper. I never heard of that one. Let's see you do it. All right. So, all right. Okay, you go for it. All right, let's just wait till I count to three. Okay? Are you guys ready? I need some of you to go up front up here because there's too many of you here. That's enough. That's enough. That's good. On a count of three, are you ready for this? One, two, three. Let's dance for Jesus.
Now watch me whip. Now watch me nay nay.
Okay.
Now watch me whip. Watch me nay nay.
Why me do it?
Come on, kids. You can do better.
Watch me nay nay.
Okay.
Now watch me.
Wow, look at this worm. Oh, that's awesome. Look at this guy. Wow, look at Vanessa. Go, go, Vanessa. Oh, look at this guy spinning. All right, all right, all right. Bring it down, bring it down. Are you guys ready for exercise number four? Number four. Malachi, all right, give me five, man. Exercise number four, Psalm 46, 10. Says this, are you ready to read with me? Psalm 46, 10 says, be still and know that I'm God. So sometimes God wants us to clap. Sometimes God wants us to shout. Sometimes God wants us to dance. You like that one, didn't you? And sometimes he wants us to be still. Shh. Can you be still? Can you be still for about 15 minutes while I preach? All right, all right, all right. Well, I can get you guys out of here. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Give him a hand. Give them another hand. They did great today. Amen. Amen. Wow. We have so many kids, and they're so talented, and this is just the beginning. I feel like we're going to have some awesome things happening. I prayed and I asked God. They're going to have a snowball fight, actually, in a downstairs area. Not real snowballs. Well, thanks a lot, dude. I feel like some adults are going to leave now. It's not real snowballs. They're just fake, fluffy, warm things they're going to throw at each other and have fun downstairs. Plus, they have some cake and stuff like that. They did amazing today. Did you know that some of them stayed for two services? Amen. Amen. We have an amazing kids' church department. There's like 40-some volunteers that are, as you're sitting here, they're watching the kids. And they're teaching them so they can understand and have fun on their level. When I was praying today and asking God, what do you want me to preach about? And he told me, you got to look, in order for you to enjoy Christmas, you got to look at kids. You got to look at the kids again. You know, here at the church, we're preparing for two more services on Christmas Eve. I hope you're all coming because this is going to be an awesome production. It's going to be amazing. Kids will receive gifts and things like that. But sometimes we adults get so involved in the things of Christmas that we don't enjoy the birthday of Jesus. And I remember being a kid and I enjoyed Christmas. Did you know that Christmas was my favorite time of the year? Why? Because I don't really remember us celebrating our birthdays. We grew up in a big family, 7 boys, mom, dad. Love my family, but we grew up kind of poor, and candies was not something you can get a lot of. We took sugar, we took this bread, we dipped it in water, and then put it in sugar, and that was our candies. But on Christmas, It was such an exciting, exhilarating moment when we got to wait and wait and wait. Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. Why? Because at my dad's job, they would give us presents of candy. Dad, you remember that? Presents of candy. And my dad would bring candy for us kids. And we had 7 kids, so that's a lot of candies. So I was waiting for that. Also in church, sometimes in church we would get candy as well. Sometimes they ran out. So you had to like kind of be elbowy a little to get to the front to get the presents. Amen. But Christmas was so exciting. On Christmas, all of us cousins would get together. We were all from big families. We would get together. And we didn't have TV. Did you know that in my life, I didn't have TV till I was 12 years old? We didn't have video games, obviously. The first time I played a video game was when we went to Shopko on East 10th Street, and I was playing on display. So what I would do is, I don't know if you did this, I would ride my bicycle to Shopko, and I would stand there for hours and play video games. Because we didn't have it. And especially when I was 10 years old in Ukraine, we didn't have a lot of those things. So guess what we did? We didn't have any games, not a lot of toys, so we would get in trouble. What do kids do when there's nothing to do? We would get in trouble, and it was so much fun. I remember Christmas as a kid, and I used to be like, this is the best holiday of the year. But when I grew up, it became just another holiday where you have to prepare a lot. You have to work overtime. And when I used to wait for Christmas, and I was hoping it will never end. When I grew up, I started saying, God, just please let this Christmas pass so I can just rest. And I realized that my heart wasn't right with God. And I realized that the meaning of Christmas, the birthday of Jesus, lost its meaning completely to me. Maybe you can identify with me today. Maybe you're just hoping the holidays will just be over so we could be just done with this Christmas thing. And that's not the kind of spirit that God wants us to have. Did you know that God doesn't want you to be miserable? God wants you to be happy and joyful and have fun on Christmas. He wants to build up your faith. He wants to fill you with wonder this Christmas. He doesn't want us to be down this Christmas. And so God, I said, my heart is not right. And He said, you got to look at children. You got to rediscover a child in you to enjoy Christmas again. I remember as a child in our neighborhood, how many of you heard of caroling? How many of you still remember caroling? We used to do caroling. Why? We lived in a communist country where most people were atheists. So they didn't believe in God. But on Christmas, you can knock on somebody's door. And we, all of us cousins, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, I was about maybe 10, 11-year-old that time, we would knock on people's doors. And as soon as they opened the door, we would begin to sing Christmas songs. And these atheists, you would see tears flowing from their eyes. And the coolest part is, we didn't do it for tears, trust me. At 10 years old, that's not what you're thinking about. The coolest thing, at the end of the song or two, some of them would ask, could you sing one more? Can you sing one more? And sometimes I would end up singing myself because nobody knew the songs anymore. But my mom, she was like in the choir and stuff, so she would teach me a lot of songs. And so I would end up singing and singing. But at the end, they would give you money. They would give you candy. They would give you cake, right? So that motivated kids really much to go door to door. So we would go till dark. And we lived in a different time, so it wasn't as scary for 10-year-olds to walk around in the neighborhood knocking on doors. And some people were drunk, and some people would cry, some people would sing with us or whatever, you know. I remember Christmas as being fun. And I believe that God wants us to rediscover Christmas once again. Don't go another Christmas without finding the wonder of it all. Amen. Amen. Kids are awesome, aren't they? Kids, what's so special about kids? Well, kids have such freedom that I think we sometimes get jealous of. Sometimes we as an adult, we get so bombarded by bills, by overtime, by, oh man, I gotta buy presents and I don't have enough money, and stress and anxieties. We get bombarded, but kids, they forget about all that. They focus on the wonder of Christmas. They have the great expectations waiting and saying, what's going to happen? Christmas is coming. We're going to celebrate Jesus. Amen. And so how do we as an adult rediscover Christmas? Because I felt this month as an adult I was getting crusty this Christmas. I'm going to use another word. I was getting rusty. I was getting dusty. And I was getting musty. You know what musty means? Stinky. Thank you. And God doesn't want me to be, God doesn't want you to be dusty, crusty, rusty, and musty. He wants you to be full of joy this Christmas. Because His Son, who is God, came down and became a man. In Genesis, God said, a seed of a woman, which is Jesus, will come and crush the seed of the serpent. And Jesus came and did that. That's a big deal. Did you know that Jesus was a God? He was a spirit. And right now he's still God, but he's Son of God and Son of Man. Did you know that Jesus' body changed when he came to earth? In heaven, Jesus will be like a man, but also a God. It's a big deal what Jesus has done. And he did it on Christmas. He came on Christmas so he can become the bridge between humanity and between God. So he can bring peace between you and between God. And kids, help us rediscover Christmas. Now, I like to be a little liberal creatively with some Bible verses. In some Bible verses, there's a kid. And this kid is, I believe, the one who saved Christmas when Jesus was alive. I want to ask you a question because in the first service, there was lots of kids here. They didn't want to sit through the second service. So it's kind of, it's kind of messed up my point a little bit. But I want to ask you, when Jesus was alive during his ministry, did he celebrate Christmas? His birthday? Thank you. Yes, of course. Now let me ask you another question. When you look at the Gospels, right? And you see all the miracles and all the acts of Jesus. Which one of them, do you think you ever had a public Christmas party? Not Christmas, because it was his birthday. We call it Christmas, right? So do you think he had a birthday party? And what event would mark, in the Gospels, would mark his birthday? Anybody? What? Presents from the wise men. Well, he was a baby. So we're talking, that's good. But we're talking about when he was adult, when he was 30 years old. I think there's a story. Now, Bible doesn't say it was Jesus' birthday. But for the sake of today's fun Christmas program, can I be liberal and say that the feeding of 5,000 would most likely represent the birthday of Jesus? So this is how I look at it. Now, it doesn't mean it happened that way. Bible doesn't say it did. Bible doesn't say it didn't. But can we just say that one day Jesus was preaching in a desert? There was 5,000 men in a desert. So he's preaching plus women and children. So it could be 10,000, could be 15,000 people. So he's preaching. He gets hungry. He says to his disciples, hey, do you guys have any food? And I'm wondering why Jesus said that. Sometimes when we are hungry, we say to people, hey, you guys have any food? You have anything to eat? Or are you hungry? We ask this people, to the people. And disciples are like, no, we don't have anything to eat. He's like, well, and Andrew says, actually, Philip or Andrew says, we have a little boy here. And this boy has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Can we read this story? Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Next verse. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge of a crowd? I would like to imagine that maybe Jesus wanted to celebrate his birthday one day. And he had a big crowd. And he wanted, what do you do on birthdays? You eat cake, you eat food, right? So maybe Jesus says, hey guys, can we feed the people on my birthday? Now, I'm not saying that he did have a birthday, but Bible doesn't say. So we could be, be liberal with an interpretation. And so there's a boy, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And this is a lunch that his mama maybe gave him. And that's all that he had. And maybe there was other people who had bread and fish. But this boy decided to save Christmas. Can I say that? Decided to save Christmas. He gave the bread and the fish to Jesus. No wonder Jesus said, unless you become like children,
you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so he gives this fish on Jesus' birthday. And Jesus lifts it up and blesses it. And then they start feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, up to maybe 15,000 people. Do you think that boy saved Christmas? He did. Children could teach us how to save Christmas for us. Amen. What can kids teach us, adults, on Christmas? Matthew 18:3. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Notice this, that God says to adults, you have to become like children. And then he says to children, you have to grow up and become like adults. So we need each other, right? So God today is speaking to the adults, and this is a serious saying. If you don't become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a serious stuff. So on Christmas, God wants us to be like children. Oh, amen, amen, amen. Now, what can kids teach us on Christmas? Number one, kids have anticipation. Anticipation, waiting for something, hoping for something. Kids say things like, I can't wait for Christmas. Dad, when is Christmas? How many more days till Christmas? When was the last time you said that? You're like, man, I can't wait for Christmas to be over, Pastor, right? But if we were to be like kids, then we gotta say, I can't wait for Christmas. Can we practice this right now? I want you to just quietly say to yourself with an attitude, I can't wait for Christmas. 3 times. I can't wait for Christmas. I just can't wait for Christmas. I can't wait for Christmas. Something wonderful is gonna happen for Christmas, right? As a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he is. Kids, number two, why we should be like kids. Because kids go before God and they strip themselves of sin and doubt. Sometimes as adults, when we pray, we're like, God, I want to ask you something. I want to pray, but I got so many sins. I'm such a sinner. I'm not worthy. Well, kids don't do that. Although they understand that they maybe are sinners, but they don't think about it. When they come to God, they come with pure heart. And Bible says, come boldly before God. Come with faith before God. Why should we be like kids this Christmas? Because kids come to God with wide open faith and full of wonder. Is God going to be there when I need him? We adults say that all the time. Kids don't ask that. Kids believe God is going to be there for me when I need him. He's never failed me yet. I'm still here. And he's not going to fail you in the future. Adults have a tendency to get and become cynical with age, while a child has yet to be touched by the concerns and cares of the world. This Christmas, God wants you to be like a child. Amen. What else about kids can we know? Kids are an example of humility. Kids don't hold grudges. Kids forgive quickly. This Christmas, maybe you're bitter at somebody. Maybe at your parent that left, or maybe at your boss, or maybe at your friend that wasn't there for you. Kids are able to forgive and forget. And maybe that's what you need to do today. You need to be like a child. You need to forget. Life, Jesus said a phrase in the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, verse 49. He said, for everyone will be salted with fire. What does that mean? Everyone will be tested with trials, tribulations, sicknesses. Every person on earth, I don't want to be negative, but I just want to tell you, for everyone will be salted. He didn't say everybody will be torched with fire. He said everybody will be salted with fire. Could you testify to that? Life on earth, if you live on earth, you will be salted with fire. Fire represents testing, trials, making you stronger, shaping you. So life could be hard, but children can forget the hard. They don't need a lot. They don't know if they're poor or rich. They just enjoy Christmas because Christmas is in their heart. God wants that for us. Kids expect great things for the future. They have a great expectations. Sometimes we adults, we're like, I don't want to even think about a future because something bad might happen. How many of you ever felt that worry or anxiety? Like, maybe I'm going to get sick. Maybe I'm going to get cancer. You know, we always think about these things. Or you have a pain in your leg. That's it. They're going to amputate my leg, I think. You know, we have all these. Or we hear a sickness, a description of a sickness, and now we think we have it. So guys think they have PMS after hearing, you know, about the symptoms of the PMS. And it's like, no, you don't. You just worry too much. Amen. Kids don't think about that. They just play. I remember Hadessa, this summer, we went and visited our cousins, her cousins, my brother and my sister-in-law, and they were jumping off the bed, and Hadessa's hurt her leg, you know, and she couldn't walk for a couple of weeks. But I noticed how, like, the next hour after coming from the hospital, as long as she didn't walk, she forgot about the pain, and she would just play like normal. She would scoot herself, you know, because she couldn't walk. So she would, like, you know, find a way to get, you know, kids forget about even the pain. And God says, I want you to forget. I want you to enjoy Christmas. Some of us see God as furious and angry. But God, really, if it wasn't for sin, He wouldn't have a serious thought in His life. God is a God that through Jesus Christ, when He looks at you, He sees Jesus, not you. So He's pleased with you. So you can come to God and say, God, here, I am here. You're my dad. And kids can show us that. Sometimes my son would do something dumb, and I said, if you could get into something, he will get into it all the time. If there's like a, you know, there's a puddle, and there's a sidewalk going this way and sidewalk going that way, guess what he'll do? He'll go through the puddle and then be like, And sometimes, you know, as parents, we kind of lose temper on our kids, don't we? We're just like, Junior, stop that! You're like, is there anybody watching me? I'm a pastor, you know? Right? Sometimes some of our personalities. You know what I'm talking about. Personalities. Some people are gentle. Hey, honey, can you please not do that? Not my personality. And you know, sometimes you make your kids cry. But 5 minutes later, they come, hey, Dad. And my son just, I love that about him. He just comes and just, after he messed up, he forgets about it so fast. He comes and just, hey, Dad. And he hugs me and sits with me and whatever. After he wants to make sure everything is good. I'm like, hey, no matter what you do. And he gets in trouble a lot. No matter what you do, I will still love you. And God says, I want you to come like that. When you mess up, you got to let it go. Because God knows you're not perfect. If you were perfect, Jesus wouldn't have to come. But now, when God looks at us, He looks at us through the prism of Jesus Christ. So when He looks at you and me, He sees Jesus first. And Jesus is perfect. And He says, oh yeah, you're my child through Jesus Christ. Amen. So kids teach us all these things. Kids teach us how to trust. Sometimes we adults have been burned too many times. And kids, you know, they get in a fight with one another. Then they forgive and they forget and they keep playing. Children teach us how to be content with little things. They don't care how rich you are. They just want to spend time with you. Amen? They don't care how many things they have. Actually, sometimes things get in the way of spending time with your kids. I feel like the more we have, the less time we spend, the more time we spend assembling things than actually spending time with our children. And children teach us, it doesn't matter. I can play anywhere. I can have fun anywhere. Children, they have faith that moves mountains. And God says, if you had a faith like a child, God wants us to be like children this Christmas. I want to be a child again this Christmas. I don't want to wait till it's over. I want to enjoy every moment. I don't want to worry about the presents and money and credit cards and money. I want to celebrate my Savior and my Lord this Christmas. So today, I want you to come to God boldly. I want you to say in this prayer that we're going to have, I want you to say, God, fill me with your presence. Let me feel like a child again. Let me forget about all my worries and focus on you, the greatest gift to humanity. I just read an article that Jewish rabbis came out and said that Jesus and Christianity is the greatest gift to this world. This is Jewish rabbis. How many of you read that article? Jewish rabbi said that Christianity is the greatest gift. Other religions bring destruction sometimes. Christianity, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. So he said, they said, the Christianity, they don't believe in Jesus, but they said Christianity is the greatest gift to the earth. Why don't we feel it? Why don't we? Well, today, I believe everything is changing. I believe Holy Spirit has spoke to you and me. I believe God, through your ears, through your eyes, has spoke to you. Through the kids, He spoke to you. Sometimes we want to be in control, and God says, just relax, let go, and let me fill you. I believe this afternoon already, God wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit so you would have the best Christmas of them all. Bible says, come boldly to the throne. Come boldly to the Father. I want you to take this moment and just bow your head and ask God. Just say, God, come into my heart again. Fill me with the dynamite power of your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your grace, God. Fill me with your Spirit, God. Fill us, Lord. We want to know you. We want to experience you again. So this Christmas would never be the same. Keep your eyes closed. I want to ask you a question. Is Jesus just a baby, just a story, or is He the Lord of your life? I'm going to count to three right now, and on a count of three, if you would like to give your life to Jesus, because that's why He came, so He can exchange His life for yours. And His life is better because His life is perfect without sin. Your life is full of sin. So He says, let's make an exchange. So today, this afternoon, there's going to be exchange happening. In the first service, we had six people exchange their life for the life of Christ. And I believe there are some people today who will give their life to the Lord. And your life will never be the same. He will come, forgive you of your sins, and will restore you into God's family. Just like a prodigal son, he came to his father hoping to just be a slave. And his father put a robe on him, gave him a ring on a finger, and threw a party for him, celebration. I believe God is wanting to do the same thing for you this morning. He wants to save people. He wants to forgive people. He wants to welcome people into the family. Maybe you were a Christian once, but today you don't feel it. You walked away, you backslid, and today I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. In Revelation it says, I stand at the door and knock, and whoever will open the door of your heart, I will come in, Jesus says, and I will have a feast. I will have a party in that heart. So on a count of three, if you want to give your life to Jesus, would you raise your hand and raise it high? One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One hand, two hands, three hands. Come on, four hands, clap your hands, everybody. Five hands, thank you. The best decision you have ever made, but it's only the first step. And I want to pray with you right now. Would you repeat after me? Say Jesus, everybody, say Jesus, I'm a sinner, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I declare you my Lord and Savior. From this moment on, I believe that I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creation. I'm a part of God's family. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Clap your hands and bless God. Yeah, come on, come on, come on, man. I was watching when they take college football players and bring them into NFL. What is that called? Draft. And they're waiting. And one guy, they name the name who they're going to draft. The family gets excited. People are crying. People are celebrating. Well, I like to think when you become a Christian, you've been drafted into the family of God. Listen to me. Your family are happy, and now you're part of something big. God is going to use you. This is just the beginning. When a football player gets drafted, that's not the end. See, a lot of people say, I'm saved, that's it, I'm done with God, I'm done with church, I'm saved. You know, I got fire insurance. No, God says, no, this is a beginning. You just got drafted. Now you can use your skills for the glory of God. You can use your gifts for the glory of God. God has done something great in your heart. He has removed all of your sins. You should get excited about that. Woo!